Because by the time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time. Buying it, you're selling it. What are you doing? Are you buying the idea that the Denver Nuggets, before Thursday, February 8th, which is the trade deadline, or I guess like on February 8th, they could do it. Are the Nuggets going to make, are you buying that they need or will perhaps make a big, significant trade? I'm not talking about what they did last year, you know, getting a guy like Thomas Bryant, that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a significant trade. Trading a guy like a prospect, Peyton Watson, or a current starter, big money guy, Michael Porter Jr., KCP. Are you buying or selling that the Nuggets get that aggressive? That would be extremely aggressive. Be an end of an era if you've traded a guy like Michael Porter Jr. Buying it, you selling it, Angel?
Ask me in a week, and I might buy it. I'm going to sell it for right now.
Because of the way the Nuggets are constructed, and they seem to be a really tight-knit group, and that's kind of what separates them. Obviously, the championship does, but I don't see them moving on from MPJ. I don't see them moving on from a prospect. And outside of MPJ and Peyton Watson, I don't see the Nuggets even close to trading anybody else. KCP's too valuable on defense. Nobody else has any value. Joker's untouchable. Jamal's untouchable. Aaron Gordon's untouchable. And I think KCP is too with the defense. And I think they would not. Reggie Jackson doesn't provide a lot of trade value. Christian Brown certainly doesn't. Julian Strother doesn't. They like him. Peyton Watson, I think they think he's going to be something for this team. So I,
if they're making a trade, it's going to be picks.
Yeah, it's going to be picks. And then cutting guys, removing bench guys to make room. Now, you could see like the Raptors buy out a contract for Bruce Brown, and then that would be interesting because then you could afford him. Maybe. What an interesting road it was for Bruce Brown, though. So I'm gonna sell that idea.
I want you to get out there and sell.
Are we buying or selling? This is a two-parter, Angel. Are we buying or selling that Bill Belichick, arguably the greatest coach of all time, is not gonna coach in 2024?
I can't see it being a head coach, so I'll sell half of that.
You think he will?
It's a two-parter.
You think he'll get on with Washington or Seattle?
I don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm buying. I'm gonna buy that he will not be a head coach this year. Okay. So I'm buying that. Are you buying or selling the idea that Bill Belichick? If you don't think he's going to be head coach, or maybe even if you do, but it just doesn't work out, that he would not take the year off, that he would go be a coordinator somewhere. That's actually picking up steam out there.
I would buy that.
Oh! I cannot, I can't picture that. Belichick taking orders? I'm selling that, Angel.
I would see it more as kind of what Miami did with Fangio this past season was kind of, I'm going to handle the offense. You figure out the defense, and you just do what you do.
Yeah,
go
but that's
in your
Fangio.
Office and lock yourself away and never show your face to anybody and somehow make a defense.
Oh, there's no way. It's too big of a distraction. As soon as things go south, oh, should they just fire the head coach and promote Bill Belichick?
Well, not if the defense isn't good.
Yeah.
Can you call a defense?
I'm selling the heck out of that idea. There's
I
no
want
way
you to get out there and sell.
Are we buying or selling right now? This is for the troll out there. That the UNC Bears are going to win the Big Sky tournament and get into their first ever legitimate NCAA tournament. Buying it or are we selling it?
I'm going to buy it.
Mm.
I think As I said earlier, I think this team can end up finishing one or two in the Big Sky if, you know, someone can beat Eastern Washington along the way. But I think if they end up getting one of those first two seeds and you get a bye, I like this team in a three-day stretch to win the Big Sky.
You know, I keep kind of counting this team out. Last night, even though they lost, I feel like I counted them out. You know, I thought several times in that game, there's no way they're going to come back. They outscored Eastern Washington 43-39. They're down 7 at the half.
I think there's more to this team. Obviously, there's more than Jaren Riley and St. Thomas. I think Riley Abercrombie is a guy to look out for in this back half of the season. If he can start get it going, he becomes your third scorer. This team can be very dangerous.
Well, and Day-Day Reeves, too. I mean, that guy can be something. And
a guy that requested to be coming off the bench.
Yeah. I mean, you got it. This group is how? How?
Chemistry.
Chemistry.
That's the word.
An excellent coaching staff. Oh, boy.
I don't know if Smiley's listening.
You're buying it. Yeah, I'll buy it. I'll buy stock in that.
All yep. Cash. None of it's on the books.
And that's just because, again, you're on the road in Eastern Washington. That's a tough place to play in the Big Sky. It's not, you know,
there's
that's
no
craziest
easy
play.
Road games in the Big Sky.
No, but you know what? I'm buying it today, but I'll sell the hell out of this stock if they lose on Saturday. I'll sell it. Well, I won't make anything off of it because the stock's going to plummet. They have to win Saturday. Not that it matters greatly. It still matters in the seeding and all that stuff. But you got to win. UNC's got to win. CSU's got to win against Wyoming. Some big must wins coming up. That's buy or sell. Got the picks coming up a little bit later on in the show. It's time to just really separate myself here in these playoff picks. I finished over 500 in my Thursday night special. I did not finish over 500 in my local picks this year. That was an embarrassing time for me. It really was on the football side. You know, with all the teams being bad, you get close to these teams, you start believing them, and then bad stuff happens. I don't know. I didn't get to 500 on the picks, on the local picks today. It's been so long ago.
It's been a while.
That's okay. Close enough. But I did get over 500 in the Thursday night special, and we're probably going to soar over the 500 mark for my playoff picks. So I feel really good about what I've put together here on AFC, NFC Championship weekend. You know, I had a gut feeling early about where I was going to go. And I've kind of gone back and forth, and then I changed one in my brain, but it's not official until I say it in the final segment of the Friday show.
You were like five games back in around Christmas. The last one I have in my notes was Denver-Detroit.
And it was pretty much just Denver at that point, right? I think I got close because I did pick... I know I picked the Broncos to lose to the Raiders that last game. I believe I had them picked to win the game before that. But I don't know. Speaking of the Raiders, did you happen to hear Antonio Pierce's introduction press conference?
I did not.
It's powerful. It's very powerful. He said something, I don't know if you can find, but he said something along the lines of, you know, the goal is to win the AFC West, to be a playoff team, to compete for a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl. He said, that's not a guarantee, but that is what we are going to believe. I don't know, man. It was powerful. Raiders made the right hire, at least today. He didn't just win the press conference. He won the end of the season as well. He won the end of the season as well. Here's Antonio Pierce. Here is the press conference.
But we always end all our victories a certain way in the locker room. So we got a packed house here. I'm going to see how everybody's vocal cords work. So stay with me. You ready? Raiders! Yeah, now we warmed up. See, that's what we're talking about. But we all...
Getting the crowd. That was, see if you can find the, I don't know, the one where he's talking about like our goal. He's getting people fired up. He's got a personality. I love that, man. And we're talking about Dan Campbell and the way his whole monologue about the city believing in Detroit as they prepare to go to San Francisco, and they've got the city behind them talking about why his players fit with Detroit, why he fits with Detroit. They buy into it. There's passion there, man. Yeah, it's a little not gimmicky. It's a little cheesy, I suppose, but it gives you goosebumps. Boy, I think the Broncos could sure use some of that. The Broncos haven't had anything like this, guys. I mean, we won Super Bowls, and I'm grateful for that. But all this stuff going on with these coaches right now, the Broncos aren't dabbling in any of that, in any of that world. You know, your boy, Mike McDaniel, he's entertaining as hell. He's innovative. Dan Campbell, that tell me that most of those players don't want to run through a brick wall for that guy. Antonio Pierce now. You got star players on that team saying, yeah, you might as well trade me if you don't hire him. Get rid of me. I'm done if he's not back. I mean, either get this guy that's, you know, the Kyle Shanahans of the world that's just this amazing strategist, or you're getting the inspirational rah-rah guy. And there's room for both. Sean Payton's in the category of the strategist. But obviously, we didn't see in that first year, we didn't see it happen. We did hear a lot of talking from him. We did. He talked a lot. He talked a lot about being a silent donor, too. And then he was louder than everybody on that football team. And the things that he said when he opened his mouth, you buying that? Dan Campbell starts speaking and you listen up. Because you know some poetry is just about to flow from that massive human being. You know, Harbaugh's even got he's weird as, both Harbaughs are weird. Jim Harbaugh's certainly the weirder one, but they're strange dudes. But they start speaking up and you're listening. And that's why when we talk about all these great coaches and, or at least these speeches and potential and excitement about your guy, from day one, Sean Payton came in and basically said, your organization was trash before I got here. That's basically what he said. Threw coaches under the bus, threw GMs under the bus, his boss. Said, we got to be silent donors. Then he goes out and talks to his media friend and spills the beans on pretty much everything. So Sean Payton, listen, he could still turn it around, but as far as getting a fan base excited, he's not winning that battle.
Yeah, I couldn't find that exact clip, but just listening to it for a little bit there's an energy.
Yeah.
There is a legit, like, woo, we feel good about this. And you mentioned a lot of names there in the coaching ranks right now where you feel that kind of charisma with their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, short-term, long-term success, we'll have to wait and see for some of these guys. But you can notice that there's a difference in the way that these teams play. The culture's different. The attitudes are different. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and I'll be fair. I'm not, like, obviously, I'm not at practice. I don't see how Sean Payton is when the cameras aren't on him and when the microphone's not in front of him. I mean, he could have fun out there. You know, they could have a good time with him. He could, you know, have a good relationship with a lot of these guys. And a lot of guys say that. Even Kareem Jackson had an opportunity when weird stuff came out on Twitter. He had an opportunity to go all in and bash Payton, and he fired back and said, actually, no, I enjoyed my time with Sean Payton. So he could be that guy, but as far as getting a fan base fired up, he's definitely not that guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, does he smile?
No,
he was kind of the same way in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like, he never really, he was a good coach because he was a good coach.
And that all works if you are a good coach and you're winning. Nobody cares if you're Dan Campbell. If Dan Campbell was losing, nobody wants to hear the biting kneecaps crap. Nobody wants to hear it. But if you're winning and you pair it with it, sometimes that helps you win. Sometimes those are the things that get people to buy into you, and maybe they go one little extra ounce harder than they would have because they know you would do it. Dan played. Was he great? No, but he had high energy.
I mean, you know, you look at what D'Amico Ryans does, the way his team bought into him. You mentioned Mike McDaniel, who, I'll even tell you, I get tired of the jokes sometimes when they're losing games. Sean McVay has a goofy side to him a little bit. Shanahan, I don't know if he goofs around as much.
Sean McVay's got fire.
Oh, yeah.
He's got fire. Kyle Shanahan, though, is like the mad... He's the scientist. So you get that. You have that respect for him. I don't know if he's joking around with... Mike Shanahan certainly wasn't the guy. He had fun with the media, though. He would pick his spots. But people respected him. Belichick, a lot of players didn't like him, but a lot of players respected the hell out of him.
Oh, and Shanahan had Ryans and McDaniel on his staff at one point.
Yeah, and they pick... You pick... What kind of coach you're going to be? You know, are you going to be the deep thinker and you're always just kind of stuck in that mode where you can't break away for, you know, we're going to mess around a little bit. I'm going to fire you up a little bit. I'm going to do this. Or are you the opposite? You're not diving in as much as you need to on the analytics side of things and the you know, just flat out film study, which again, you're at this level, you're working 24/7. I mean, you're basically on the clock all the time. You're at this level. When you're a high-paid coordinator or a coach, you're not, like, not working. There's nobody that's getting accused of that. But how much focus are you putting into the areas that need your attention the most? And that's the balance. And that's what makes a great coach a great coach, is being able to pick their spots, know when they can come in, and maybe joke around. Maybe joke around with the media a little bit. Maybe fire off the inspirational speech. And you're not getting that from Sean Payton. And again, that's not the end-all be-all. He's not going to get up and do the rah-rah thing like Dan Campbell did about Detroit. I loved his speech. It was good. There's these teams that get deep into the playoffs, they have those things going for them. They have the motivational leaders or they have the analytical geniuses. Sometimes they can be both. And right now, it's yet to be seen if Sean Payton can do that in his second stint as a head coach. 22 minutes after the hour, Kansas City, Baltimore. Let's go through it. What is it going to take for the Chiefs to pull off the small upset? I think it's a 4-point spread, so it should be a pretty good game. What do the Chiefs have to do? What can the Ravens do? What are we looking at as far as injuries and things like that? We'll talk about it more on the other side. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Season is over. It's over. But college basketball is heating up. Hear UNC Bears hoops and Westwood One's coverage of college basketball on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, this weekend, of the two games, which one's more interesting to you? You're looking forward to the most? Like, for me, Angel, it's I mean, I'm an AFC guy. You're more of an AFC guy. It's definitely the Ravens, Kansas City, and obviously, I kind of like the quarterback that plays for the Ravens.
Kinda really?
Like, yeah, I just kind of think he's...
Would never have guessed it.
I think he's something. He's something else.
I think the AFC Championship is the headline game. It's the main event, the main card event. But I think the NFC game is going to be the one that's way more competitive, back and forth, two really good offenses. So I'm gonna lean NFC just because I want to watch a good football game.
I think a lot of people looking at that game are thinking that's going to be the one. You know, San Francisco is going to cover that spread. They're going to run away with this thing.
I don't think so.
You know, yeah, we'll see.
You're sleeping on this Lions offense.
That Lions offense is good. St. Brown, man.
He's good.
And they obviously have the two-headed monster with their running backs.
Laporta's a very, very good young tight end.
Yeah. They're stacked.
And I don't know about Niners defense. I think they may give up some points.
Could be a high-scoring game.
I could see a 34-28 type of game.
That would be a good game. Let's go over to the Ravens-Chiefs game first. Tough part. What's interesting with the Chiefs, you know, for the longest time, it's been Mahomes, and some of his receivers and Travis Kelce. Obviously, his receivers, save for Rice and Kelce, and Rice really just kind of coming on strong the last few games. That's been a concern for them. But then on the flip side, where the defense used to be a concern, this Chiefs secondary is so good. I mean, that when with Buffalo, they really went at their tight end game. They ran a lot of 12 personnel, where they'd have the one running back and then two tight ends, and they were really putting the focal point on their tight ends. Check this out. Josh Allen targeted his tight ends and running backs on 43% of his pass attempts. So that's going to be primarily what the Bills did going up against the Chiefs. They were just what you look at Diggs. I mean, he did have kind of an open opportunity to catch that deep ball, but it was the coverage that messed him up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like they didn't play defense at that point. So this is a good group, and when you look at Snead, I mean, that guy, he hadn't given up a touchdown. Is that right? Or given up a red zone touchdown?
I think a red zone touchdown.
He's been elite. Jalen Watson, Trent McDuffie, like these are really good corner, good secondary. So if you're the Ravens, that actually is not the worst thing in the world for you, because especially if Mark Andrews comes back, which we think he is at this stage, that's kind of okay for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I think for Kansas City, I think they can handle OBJ for the most part. Zay Flowers is a guy that's just, you know, if you can maintain him, not let him get breakaway shots.
Mm.
But I think the wrinkle of Mark Andrews coming back, you've seen what Isaiah Likely can do. He's likely the second best tight end on that team.
Nice.
So yeah, I think there's a lot of weapons on that team. But obviously the biggest one is Lamar Jackson, and you have to be very, very smart on defense, especially when you're rushing the passer. If you're going to rush him, you got to get to him quickly. And you have to rush him smart, you know, doing stunts on the defensive line, late blitzes by the linebackers or safeties, whichever. Lamar, if he can step up into that pocket, he's more than likely going to run down your throat.
And that's what's tough. Like, most of the time, the Chiefs secondary can present a huge mismatch for many offenses. But when Lamar has that ability to run, it does. Even as a corner, as a safety, I mean, your head is constantly on a swivel.
Do you use a quarterback spy? Do you, you know, Lamar, it's you have to corral him quickly, or he's going to go up the middle, or you have to force him on the outside, which is even more of a risk, because if he gets north and south on the edges, ugh.
Well, and if you use a quarterback spy, this is where, like, Justice Hill will come into play, mm-hmm. because you're going to use him, okay, typically where that linebacker might be putting some eyes on the running back, maybe the safety's going to have to put extra eyes there. And you're going into more of a man type defense, that could open up your running back for some big time plays too.
Sure.
So that I could see the running back being a big. I could see Hill having a big game in this one going up against the Chiefs. I mean, the secondary is legit. Kansas City's and Spagnuolo has done a wonderful job as a defensive coordinator. Seems like he gets better in the playoffs too. These Chiefs teams, even when they're having rough years, they get better in the playoffs.
I don't get it.
I don't either. But they've been consistently good from the regular season to now this year with this defense. What I'll be curious to see is what the Chiefs decide to do with their formations. Are you going to, knowing that Baltimore's probably going to go a lot of 12 personnel, do you line up in your, what does Kansas City run a 4-3? I think they run a 4-3. Do you line up more in that situation, or do you go into the nickel back and that kind of thing? Is that what you're looking at? Because they do run a base 4-3 defense. If Kansas City decides, okay, we know they're going to have their tight ends, so we want to have our linebackers there to stop the run, spy on Jackson. We can keep up with the tight ends. However, if you're not going to have your best speed out there, so if you go nickel, you're not going to go a lot of dime, but if you go nickel, then that's where the Ravens' tight ends are going to eat.
Yeah, I think you're going to be more focused on what the adjustments are for Kansas City. I thought Houston did some good things against Baltimore, especially, you know, late in that second quarter of their game last weekend. They were able to get pressure on Lamar, sack him a couple of times. I think you can get him off his rhythm a little bit, but they're going to adjust. And can Spagnuolo adjust enough and hope that the offense shows up a little bit more than they did late against Buffalo, and try to, you know, can you force a turnover? Can you get Lamar to throw an interception? That's big.
Yeah, it is going to be. If you let Lamar, because Lamar, I feel like, has pulled back a little bit as far as wanting to just take off and run that ball. You see a lot of his runs are very slow to build up. Not that he's slow, but he is picking his, okay, do I really have something here? Do I have something here? It's like the slow development, and then boom, he's gone. A quick cut here. He has that ability. So he does provide an X factor unlike anything we've seen really outside of like guys like Michael Vick. So with the Chiefs defense, even though they're better and that secondary is ridiculous, I'll be curious to see how they approach this thing. Because do you blitz? You know, that's a scary
thing.
Very
timely blitz. They got to be quick. They got to be unexpected. Miami a few years ago was able to use a zero blitz against Lamar, and it was pretty effective for the most part. But I get so worried about those defensive linemen. You can't rush past him.
Yeah, you got to be so careful.
You move that pocket past Lamar, he's gone.
Yeah, you got to be so careful with it. On the other side, when the Chiefs have the ball, now running the ball has been something that's worked for them with Pacheco. They've ran in their playoff games, in their two playoff games, they ran 58 times for 293 yards in the two playoff games. But they weren't that efficient throughout the course of the regular season. And then they were spotty in the playoffs. They would just kind of break off some decent runs. They get explosive runs and things like that. It was not like a consistent, we're just going to pound it in, you know, pound that defense and just keep moving the rock. It usually came out to being some big runs. They've had, in the playoffs, check this out, they've created an explosive run on 13.8% of their rushes. So they are banking on Pacheco breaking loose a couple of times a game, not necessarily just getting 4 yards here, 3 yards there.
Yeah, I think Pacheco's a really good talent for them. I know he was a little banged up in practice this week, so probably expect him to go. You know Baltimore is going to try to shadow Kelsey as much as they can, but he somehow still finds his way wide open in the middle of the field, and it's just, why is he there?
Yeah,
what are we doing? But can Rashee Rice, can he continue this performance?
Yep, that's big.
You know Baltimore's going to be keying in on him. Do they have enough talent and weapons on that offense to really be effective and have long, consistent drives that keep Lamar on the sideline?
Yeah, and that's, if I were Kansas City, I'd feel a lot better if my run game was consistent and it wasn't just based off of these explosive runs. Now, they do have a really good offensive line. Kansas City does. That's why Patrick Mahomes is able to hang out for so long to figure out what he's going to end up doing. And then he gets out and gets that monster sideline run that he's known to do. Now, with that line, it's Creed Humphrey, it's Trey Smith, it's Joe Thuney, who is reported, according to Adam Schefter, he's dealing with a pec injury. Is he going to play? I don't know. It's unlikely at this point. However, he really wants to. How effective will he be in this game? So you're going to kind of deal with a little bit of a battered offensive line for Kansas City. But it's still they have their own X factor in Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't run like Lamar, but he gets the job done.
Oh, and you know, can't touch him.
No.
You literally cannot touch him.
You can't touch him. Lamar and Josh Allen seems like you can touch a little bit more because they do act like running backs a lot. Mm-hmm. But Patrick still has that. He looks like a quarterback.
Well, when he runs, he's not running like aggressively. He's just kind of...
It's like he's prancing. He's like prancing through the meadow and people don't... It's like he's a pitcher that throws a 40-mile-an-hour softball. Or fastball. That's his fastball. It's like 40 miles per hour. You swing three times before the ball actually gets to the catcher's mitt. That Mahomes is fast, don't get me wrong. But when he scrambles and takes off, it doesn't always look that fast. Mm-hmm. And so it's deceptive of how to tackle the guy. So, listen, we got two great teams here. Baltimore's defense is legit. That is a very, very good defense. Probably an elite-type defense. And I think Jadeveon Clowney, it's interesting. They don't blitz a hell of a lot. They're very picky and choosy when they blitz, but they pack a punch when they do. Clowney has resurrected his career. He looks like he could play cornerback. He's lost weight and stuff. He's just thin, but he's used that to his advantage coming off that edge for Baltimore. It's been cool. I was always a big Clowney fan.
Oh, yeah. They've got great players at every level of their defense on the line. Patrick Queen at the linebacker spot. Kyle Hamilton Hamilton in the secondary. Maybe Marlon Humphrey comes back. I've seen some things he might play or not. But they've got guys at every single level, and they communicate well. They're aggressive. They're physical on the defensive side. It's going to be a good challenge.
Yeah, it will be. No doubt. Yep, questionable for Humphrey. But outside of that, this team is coming in feeling pretty good about themselves. Now, again, if you go to ESPN, Mark Andrews is not listed. I mean, he's listed as the third tight end on this team, but he's not listed as questionable or anything like that. He's just listed as a go. So how much will they use him in this game? Knowing that if they can find a way to win, they want him to be ready to go for the tall task that will come in Las Vegas in the Super Bowl. 40 minutes after the hour. All right, Detroit and San Francisco, NFC Championship coming up. It's Brock Purdy. It's Jared Goff. It's Dan Campbell. It's Kyle Shanahan, Christian McCaffrey, and Debo Samuel, and St. Brown. All these great players, excellent players. NFC Championship should be also a fun one. I'm with you. I think they're going to be close games. Let's talk about that one. Coming up next, first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, this weekend, of the two games, which one's more interesting to you? You're looking forward to the most? Like, for me, Angel, it's I mean, I'm an AFC guy. You're more of an AFC guy. It's definitely the Ravens, Kansas City, and obviously, I kind of like the quarterback that plays for the Ravens.
Kinda really?
Like, yeah, I just kind of think he's...
Would never have guessed it.
I think he's something. He's something else.
I think the AFC Championship is the headline game. It's the main event, the main card event. But I think the NFC game is going to be the one that's way more competitive, back and forth, two really good offenses. So I'm gonna lean NFC just because I want to watch a good football game.
I think a lot of people looking at that game are thinking that's going to be the one. You know, San Francisco is going to cover that spread. They're going to run away with this thing.
I don't think so.
You know, yeah, we'll see.
You're sleeping on this Lions offense.
That Lions offense is good. St. Brown, man.
He's good.
And they obviously have the two-headed monster with the running backs.
Laporta's a very, very good young tight end.
Yeah. They're stacked.
And I don't know about Niners defense. I think they may give up some points.
Could be a high-scoring game.
I could see a 34-28 type of game.
That would be a good game. Let's go over to the Ravens-Chiefs game first. Tough part. What's interesting with the Chiefs, you know, for the longest time, it's been Mahomes, and some of his receivers, and Travis Kelce. Obviously, his receivers, save for Rice and Kelce. And Rice really just kind of coming on strong the last few games. That's been a concern for them. But then on the flip side, where the defense used to be a concern, this Chiefs secondary is so good. I mean, that when with Buffalo, they really went at their tight end game. They ran a lot of 12 personnel where they'd have the one running back and then two tight ends, and they were really putting the focal point on their tight ends. Check this out. Josh Allen targeted his tight ends and running backs on 43% of his pass attempts. So that's going to be primarily what the Bills did going up against the Chiefs. What you look at Diggs. I mean, he did have kind of an open opportunity to catch that deep ball, but it was the coverage that messed him up. I mean, it's not like they didn't play defense at that point. So this is a good group. And when you look at Snead, I mean, that guy, he hadn't given up a touchdown. Is that right? Or given up a red zone touchdown?
I think a red zone touchdown.
He's been elite. Jalen Watson, Trent McDuffie, like these are really good corner, good secondary. So if you're the Ravens, that actually is not the worst thing in the world for you, because especially if Mark Andrews comes back, which we think he is at this stage, that's kind of okay for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I think for Kansas City, I think they can handle OBJ for the most part. Zay Flowers is a guy that's just, you know, if you can maintain him, not let him get breakaway shots. But I think the wrinkle of Mark Andrews coming back, you've seen what Isaiah Likely can do. He's likely the second best tight end on that team.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think there's a lot of weapons on that team, but obviously the biggest one is Lamar Jackson, and you have to be very, very smart on defense, especially when you're rushing the passer. If you're going to rush him, you got to get to him quickly, and you have to rush him smart, you know, doing stunts on the defensive line, late blitzes by the linebackers or safeties, whichever. Lamar, if he can step up into that pocket, he's more than likely going to run down your throat.
And that's what's tough. Like, most of the time, the Chiefs secondary can present a huge mismatch for many offenses. But when Lamar has that ability to run, it does. Even as a corner, as a safety, I mean, your head is constantly on a swivel.
Do you use a quarterback spy? Do you, you know, Lamar, it's you have to corral him quickly, or he's going to go up the middle, or you have to force him on the outside, which is even more of a risk, because if he gets north and south on the edges, ugh.
Well, and if you use a quarterback spy, this is where, like, Justice Hill will come into play, because you're going to use him. Okay, typically where that linebacker might be putting some eyes on the running back, maybe the safety's going to have to put extra eyes there, and you're going into more of a man-type defense. That could open up your running back for some big-time plays, too.
Sure.
So that I could see the running back being a big – I could see Hill having a big game in this one going up against the Chiefs. I mean, there's not – listen, the secondary is legit. Kansas City's and Spagnuolo has done a wonderful job as a defensive coordinator. Seems like he gets better in the playoffs, too. These Chiefs teams, even when they're having rough years, they get better in the playoffs.
I don't get it.
I don't either. But they've been consistently good from the regular season to now this year with this defense. What I'll be curious to see is what the Chiefs decide to do with their formations. Are you going to, knowing that Baltimore's probably going to go a lot of 12 personnel, do you line up in your, what does Kansas City run a 4-3? I think they run a 4-3. Do you line up more in that situation, or do you go into the nickel back and that kind of thing? Is that what you're looking at? Because they do run a base 4-3 defense. If Kansas City decides, okay, we know they're going to have their tight ends, so we want to have our linebackers there to stop the run, spy on Jackson. We can keep up with the tight ends. However, if you're not going to have your best speed out there. So if you go nickel, you're not going to go a lot of dime. But if you go nickel, then that's where the Ravens' tight ends are going to eat.
Yeah, I think you're going to be more focused on what the adjustments are for Kansas City. I thought Houston did some good things against Baltimore, especially, you know, late in that second quarter of their game last weekend. They were able to get pressure on Lamar, sack him a couple of times. I think you can get him off his rhythm a little bit, but they're going to adjust. And can Spagnuolo adjust enough and hope that the offense shows up a little bit more than they did late against Buffalo? And try to, you know, can you force a turnover? Can you get Lamar to throw an interception? That's big.
Yeah, it is going to be. If you let Lamar, because Lamar, I feel like, has pulled back a little bit as far as wanting to just take off and run that ball. You see a lot of his runs are very slow to build up. Not that he's slow, but he is picking his, okay, do I really have something here? Do I have something here? It's like the slow development, and then boom. He's gone. A quick cut here. He has that ability. So he does provide an X factor unlike anything we've seen really outside of like guys like Michael Vick. So with the Chiefs defense, even though they're better and that secondary is ridiculous, I'll be curious to see how they approach this thing. Because do you blitz? You know, that's a scary thing.
Very timely blitz. They got to be quick. They got to be unexpected. Miami a few years ago was able to use a zero blitz against Lamar, and it was pretty effective for the most part. But I get so worried about those defensive linemen. You can't rush past him.
Yeah, you got to be so
careful. You move that
careful.
Pocket past Lamar, he's gone.
Yeah, you got to be so careful with it. On the other side, when the Chiefs have the ball, now running the ball has been something that's worked for them with Pacheco. They've ran in their playoff games, in their two playoff games, they've ran 58 times for 293 yards in the two playoff games. But they weren't that efficient throughout the course of the regular season. And then they were spotty in the playoffs. They would just kind of break off some decent runs. They get explosive runs and things like that. It was not like a consistent, we're just going to pound it in, you know, pound that defense and just keep moving the rock. It usually came out to being some big runs. They've had... In the playoffs, check this stat out. They've created an explosive run on 13.8% of their rushes. So they are banking on Pacheco breaking loose a couple of times a game, not necessarily just getting 4 yards here, 3 yards there.
Yeah, I think Pacheco's a really good talent for them. I know he was a little banged up in practice this week, so probably expect him to go. You know Baltimore is going to try to shadow Kelsey as much as they can, but he somehow still finds his way wide open in the middle of the field, and it's just, why is he there?
Yeah.
What are we doing? But can Rashee Rice, can he continue this performance?
Yep, that's big.
You know Baltimore's going to be keying in on him. Do they have enough talent and weapons on that offense to really be effective and have long, consistent drives that keep Lamar on the sideline?
Yeah, and that's, if I were Kansas City, I'd feel a lot better if my run game was consistent and it wasn't just based off of these explosive runs. Now, they do have a really good offensive line. Kansas City does. That's why Patrick Mahomes is able to hang out for so long to figure out what he's going to end up doing. And then he gets out and gets that monster sideline run that he's known to do. Now, with that line, it's Creed Humphrey, it's Trey Smith, it's Joe Thuney, who is reported, according to Adam Schefter, he's dealing with a pec injury. Is he going to play? I don't know. It's unlikely at this point. However, he really wants to. How effective will he be in this game? So you're going to kind of deal with a little bit of a battered offensive line for Kansas City. But it's still they have their own X factor in Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't run like Lamar, but he gets the job done.
Oh, and you know, can't touch him.
No.
You literally cannot touch him.
You can't touch him. Lamar and Josh Allen seems like you can touch a little bit more because they do act like running backs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But Patrick still has that. He looks like a quarterback.
Well, when he runs, he's not running like aggressively. He's just kind of...
It's like he's prancing. He's like prancing through the meadow and people don't... It's like he's a pitcher that throws a 40-mile-an-hour softball. Or fastball. That's his fastball. It's like 40 miles per hour. You swing three times before the ball actually gets to the catcher's mitt. That Mahomes is fast, don't get me wrong. But when he scrambles and takes off, it doesn't always look that fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's deceptive of how to tackle the guy. So, listen, we got two great teams here. Baltimore's defense is legit. That is a very, very good defense. Probably an elite-type defense. I think Jadeveon Clowney, it's interesting. They don't blitz a hell of a lot. They're very picky and choosy when they blitz, but they pack a punch when they do. Clowney has resurrected his career. He looks like he could play cornerback. He's lost weight and stuff. He's just thin, but he's used that to his advantage coming off that edge for Baltimore. It's been cool. I was always a big Clowney fan.
Oh, yeah. They've got great players at every level of their defense on the line. Patrick Queen at the linebacker spot. Kyle Hamilton Hamilton in the secondary. Maybe Marlon Humphrey comes back. I've seen some things he might play or not. But they've got guys at every single level, and they communicate well. They're aggressive. They're physical on the defensive side. It's going to be a good challenge.
Yeah, it will be. No doubt. Yep, questionable for Humphrey. But outside of that, this team is coming in feeling pretty good about themselves. Now, again, if you go to ESPN... Mark Andrews is not listed. I mean, he's listed as the third tight end on this team, but he's not listed as questionable or anything like that. He's just listed as a go. So how much will they use him in this game? Knowing that if they can find a way to win, they want him to be ready to go for the tall task that will come in Las Vegas in the Super Bowl. 40 minutes after the hour. All right, Detroit and San Francisco, NFC Championship coming up. It's Brock Purdy. It's Jared Goff. It's Dan Campbell. It's Kyle Shanahan, Christian McCaffrey, and Deebo Samuel, and St. Brown. All these great players, excellent players. NFC Championship should be also a fun one. I'm with you. I think they're going to be close games. Let's talk about that one. Coming up next, first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
It's time to make our picks here, Brady Hall.
All right, we don't have many left when it comes to football. But everybody knows by now, you probably read about it somewhere, that I'm 6-4 against the spread in the playoffs. Feeling fantastic about it. Tanner's way back there. Like, way gone. He's That was one of the main goals, obviously, to beat
Tatum.
Well, he's just behind. He's in the dust. He's not even in the dust. He's not. He's that far behind. He's not even eating the dust. So, Angel, let's go here first. 1 o'clock, Sunday, CBS, also KFKA, if you can't get to the television, if you're doing something, whatever. Chiefs, Ravens. Ravens are 4-point favorites. Where are you going?
I think this will be a competitive game in the first half. Chiefs will take momentum in the third, but the Ravens at home come out in the fourth quarter, and they win this game by 10.
They cover that spread then.
Yes.
They got it by 10. Next up, 4:30, Fox, also on KFKA. Lions, 49ers. San Francisco is a touchdown and an extra point. -7. The Niners go to the Super Bowl.
Very competitive game throughout into the fourth quarter. Lions get a late drive to take a 2-point lead. Niners drive down the field, kick the winning field goal, and they're going to the Super Bowl.
So the Niners win but don't cover.
Yes.
Okay.
Lions will cover that spot.
Here we go. Chiefs, Ravens. I mean, everybody knows I'm going to pick the Ravens to win.
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
Lamar Jackson is not the hero we need right now, but he is the hero we deserve. Kansas City, I liked you to get here, but the buck stops here. I don't know. I heard that somewhere. Taylor Swift's going to write a sad song about how Lamar Jackson broke her little heart. The Ravens are covering 4, and Lamar Jackson will lead his team to the Super Bowl. Lions, 49ers. I'm loving the Lions, man. I got my blue on today. Didn't do that on purpose. I love Dan Campbell. The Niners are terrifying, though. They are 7-point favorites. I mean, the Niners have the weapons. There's no reason this team should not win 80% of their games, and I guess they did. -7. In San Fran. Big difference. Big deal. I think... Not only are the Detroit Lions going to cover this spread, the Detroit Lions, on the back of Jared Goff, are going to win Lions-Ravens Super Bowl. Good night, Northern Colorado.